We're holding in Perek Bamem Madlikin, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Dalet, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Gimel Devarim Tzarech Adam Leimar B'Seich Beisai Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things that a person should say in his house just before it gets dark on Erev Shabbos. Isartem, Eravtem, and Hadliku Eshaner. Did you take off Meiser? Did you make the Erev Chatzeres to allow carrying from the house to the Chatzer? And also, did you make an Erev Tchumen to allow a person to walk more than 2,000 Amos beyond the city limits? And finally, did you light the Neir Shabbos? Once it's Bein HaShemashos, meaning that it's after Shkia, the Rabbanu were geyser that one should not take off Meiser or be Tevel Kelim, since it looks like a person is Mesakein Kli. It looks like he's fixing Kelim. This Tana holds that this Isser, the Rabbanan, and it's the Rabbanan which we refer to as a Shvus, applies not only on Shabbos proper, but even Besafek HaShecha, i.e. during the period which we call Bein HaShemashos. And of course, one cannot light Neiris during Safek HaShecha, since lighting a fire, in this case, would be a Safek Melacha Daraisa, and one has to be very careful with that. However, the Mishnah says that one can take off Meiser from Demai during this period. Demai is Peris, which is purchased from an Amharetz, where the Rabbanim were geyser not to eat it without taking off more Meiser, since they were afraid that the Amharetz never took off Meiser in the first place. So now this is a Safek Tevel. And since this is only a Chumra mid Rabbanim to begin with, that they have to retake off Meiser, so here by Safek Hashecha, we don't have to be Machmer and worry about Tikkun Kli. Finally, the Mishnah says, during the period of Bein HaShemashos, one can make an Erev, and one would be allowed to insulate food in order to keep it warm. This is referred to as Hatmana. Kuntres Aladaf brings the Sfasemes, who asks that really, Hadlokas Neiris, lighting the Shabbos candles, should be the first question, inasmuch as a delay in Hadlokas Neiris results in a much more serious Isser than a delay in Hafrashas Meiser and a delay in making an Erev. Kindling the Shabbos lights after the onset of Shabbos is a Melacha min HaTaira, whereas Hafrashas Meiser and preparing an Erev are only Midrabanan. Therefore, it seems logical that one should remind his wife to kindle Shabbos lights before asking her whether she separated Meiser or prepared Erev. In answer to this question, the Sfasemes brings the Mordechai, who says that the act of kindling the Shabbos lights is construed as an act of Kabbalah Shabbos. It means you've accepted the Shabbos, after which one may not perform any Melachas, nor may one take off Meiser or prepare an Erev. Therefore, one must ask his wife whether she separated Meiser and prepared the Erev before he instructs her to kindle the Shabbos lights. And in fact, the Bahag, which is brought here in the Ran, agrees with the Mordechai, and says that the act of Halakas Neiris constitutes Kabbalah Shabbos, after which one may not perform any Malachas. The Rama, in Simen Reif Samach Gimel, Sifyud, writes that our minig is that when a woman of the household kindles the Shabbos lights, she accepts Shabbos upon herself. However, she has the right to stipulate otherwise, in other words, that she wants to perform Malachas even after Halakas Neiris. Also, he writes that Halakas Neiris signifies Kabbalah Shabbos only for the one who actually performs the Halakas Neiris, but not for the other members of the household. The Magen Avram, in Simen Reif Samach Gimel, Sifkot and Chaf, rules that even though the Halakha allows a woman to stipulate that she doesn't wish to be Makabel Shabbos with the Halakas Neiris, as the Ramah says, one should not use such a Tanai unless there is a pressing need. In other words, the Chatchil, it's better not to do that, but rather to accept the Shabbos immediately by the Halakas Neiris. Now let's begin the Gemara. The purpose of Hadlokas Neiris Shal Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis. As the Pasuk in Iyev Perek Hei says, V'yadata ki Shalom Ohalecha. A person can now see better in the house, and this helps to promote Shalom Bayis, as opposed to creating people tripping over one another, which would hurt the Shalom Bayis. When one says these three things before Shabbos, one must say it benichusa, in a calm and a nice way, not harshly. The Gemara says that the kula of making an Erev during Bein HaShemashos is only for an Erev Chatzeres, not for an Erev Tchumen, because even though it's only Midr Abanan, but it still has some basis of being Min HaTerah. Therefore, we should really be Machmer by Erev Tchumen. Hatmana during Bein HaShemashos is only Mutter if it's a covering that isn't Meisif Hevel. It doesn't increase the heat, it just maintains the heat. The Gemara says since Bein HaShemashos is Safek Yaim, Safek Laila, we're Machmer not to do Malacha on Erev Shabbos, and Machmer not to do Malacha on Shabbos itself, i.e. Shabbos is not 24 hours, but rather more like 25 hours. And Bein HaShemashos is the period just after the sun begins to set, and the red tinge appears in the eastern horizon. But once the entire sky is the same color, Bein HaShemashos is over, and it is now Laila. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechami says, Bein Hashmash is from Shkia until the time it takes to walk the distance of a half a mil. This is about 9 minutes. We should point out that the shir of Rabbeinu Tam, which we say, of 72 minutes, comes from the shir of Dalad Milin. We know that if 9 mil is 9 minutes, 1 mil is 18 minutes, so Dalad Milin is 72 minutes. Rabbi Yossi here says that the shir of Bein Hashmashis is Keherafayim, the duration of the blink of an eye. Therefore, we always say that during Bein Hashmashis, we assume all chumras of Hilchos Shabbos. Daf Lamed Hei. Rabbi Hanina said the shir of Rabbi Nechemya for Bein Hashmashis can be derived by looking at when the sun is located at the top of the Har HaKarmel, and a kohen who is tameh is on top of it, and he comes down the mountain to be tovel in the sea, he would then be allowed to eat truma that night. And if one wants to see the rock of Be'er Miriam, which provided Bnei Yisrael with mayim in the desert, which was b'schus, the merit of Miriam Hanaviyah, he should go to the top of Har HaKarmel and look out into the sea. This is referred to as the Be'er Miriam. It's interesting to point out that the Sefer Taimei HaMinhagim in Inyanei Shabbos, Simen Tov Chav Gimel, brings this Gemara as a source for the minig to draw water every Motzai Shabbos. Today we do not have this minig. Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Bein Hashmashis. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel gives an additional way of knowing when Bein Hashmashis has ended and night has begun. If there is one star that can be seen in the sky, it's still called day. If there are two stars, it's called Bein Hashmashis. And if there are three stars, it's now called Laila. I.e. three Kaichavim Beinanim is Simon Laila. We should point out that the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda regarding Bein Hashmashis is actually a stira. Here, the Gemara is mashma, that Rabbi Yehuda holds the shir of Bein Hashmashis is one half of a mil, which is about 9 minutes, or possibly three quarters of a mil, according to how Rabbah interprets it. This would be a shir of about 14 minutes. Yet, in Psachim, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that the shir of Bein Hashmashis, which is Shkiyat Tzeis, is the time of 4 milin, which is 72 minutes. And this, of course, leads us to a major machlokes hapoiskim. Rabbi Haigain says that originally Rabbi Yehuda held that the shir of Bein Hashmashis is dalad milin, but later he changed his view to hold 3/4 of a mil. This is also the shita of the Gra, brought in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simen, Resh, Samach, Vav. Rabbeinu Tam, however, holds that the correct zman of Laila, Tzeisek HaChavim, does not occur until after the shir of dalad milin has passed, i.e. 72 minutes. So when we refer to the minig of many people to wait 72 minutes after Shkia, before doing Malacha on Matzoi Shabbos because of Rabbeinu Tam's Zman, this is what we're referring to. The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that we're referring to is brought in Taisvis here on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Trei. We should also mention that the length of Bein Hashmashis varies depending on the time of the year, and especially depending on the proximity of a particular city to the equator. The farther a city is from the equator, the longer the Bein Hashmashis, and the more it varies by season. Eretz Yisrael, which is about 30 degrees north of the equator, has a fairly quick Bein Hashmashis. Once the sun sets, it takes only about 30 minutes to see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. In New York, which is about 40 degrees north of the equator, it takes about 40 to 45 minutes from Shkia until one can see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. And 42 minutes after Shkia is the earliest man that anyone holds for Tzeisa Kechavim Amatzai Shabbos. Many are machmer, like Rabbeinu Tam, to hold 72 minutes. Another holds manim in between 42 and 72 minutes. London, England, which is approximately 50 degrees north of the equator, has wide variations depending on the time of the year. In the winter, the period of Bein Hashmashis can be as short as 45 minutes, but in the summer, it can be a minimum of 55 minutes to see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. These shitas, by the way, are not meant to paskin for anyone, but rather to give you a flavor of how complicated this issue of Bein Hashmashis is. For a full discussion of all the shitas on Bein Hashmashis, see the Bir HaLocha and the Mishnah Berurah Chaim Simen Reish Samach Aleph. The Gemara says there were 6 shofar blasts, 2 sets each of tekiya, trua tekiya, sounded by the gabbai on Erev Shabbos. The first set was to tell people to stop doing malacha, the second was to close all the stores, and the third was to announce hadlakas neris. The gabbai then waited a bit, enough time to roast some fish, and a 4th, 5th, and 6th were sounded to herald in the Shabbos. Finally, after the gabbai would blow the shofar, he would put it away, since it was usher to carry a shofar on Shabbos, or the chatzaitzus on Shabbos, since they're all muktzah. Daf Lamed Vav. A different brisa said chatzaitzus are always usher, because they belong to the rabbin, so therefore they're muktzah. But a shofar, which belongs to a yachid, can be used on Shabbos and isn't muktzah, since it could be used to hold water to feed a baby. It has a curved top, so it's similar to a cup. And yet, a different brisa said both are mutter to touch on Shabbos. So how do you reconcile this difference? Our answer is, the Mishnah which allows both to be touched is like Reb Shimon, who holds that a keli shemalachta le'isser is mutter letalto. The Mishnah which allows only a shayfer to be touched is like Reb Yehuda. Since a shayfer has a use as a cup, therefore it's mutter to touch. Masha'en came as a trumpet, it's usser. Since a keli shemalachta le'isser is usser letalto. Reb Nechemi holds, both are usser. Since a keli is always usser, unless it is used for its primary use. Tosfos, by the way, has an entirely different interpretation of this machlokes, ayin sham. If a needle is found in the stomach, in the beis hakaisis, the thick part of an animal, if it is punctured on one side, it is kosher, but if it's punctured on both sides, the animal is treif. Finally, the name of the place that a get was given is critical, and you must use the present exact name of that place when giving a get, not an old name. This marks the end of the second perek. Now let's begin the third perek of Masechta Shabbos, perek Kira. Before we begin this perek, we will give a brief hakdama on the halachas of Bishul, and again rely largely on excerpts from the Sefer Zohar V'Shamer by Rabbi Falk of Gateshead, England. The definition of Bishul means to change the quality of any type of substance by subjecting it to the heat of fire. The malacha applies both to solids and to liquid. Furthermore, it applies to edibles, such as meat, rice, milk, etc., and also to non-edibles, such as metal, tar, wax, and anything similar. There are two forms of this malacha, bishul, which is cooking, and afiyah, which is baking. Bishul min ha-Torah can be done either with fire, with H, or by a substance that has been heated by a fire. This is referred to as toldos ha-H. For example, to put a pot of water onto a stove, that's bishul by fire itself, bishul ba-H. Whereas to drop a raw egg into a pot of hot water that has been removed from the stove is also an act of cooking. This is referred to as bishul betoldas ha'esh. To place a food into hot water that is off the stove or into the hot air of an oven that has been switched off are still considered acts of bishul because one is cooking in heat that originated from fire, which is bishul betoldas ha'esh. There is, however, a minimum temperature at which heat is considered as toldas ha'esh, since only a powerful heat can be regarded as related to fire. Below this temperature, the heat is no longer powerful and is hence incapable of doing bishul. This minimum temperature is known as yad seledespay. At this temperature, the heat is far below boiling point, but is still hot enough that a person would eventually have to withdraw his hand from it due to its intense heat. However, if the temperature is below this, it is just warmth, not considered heat, and warmth is totally unrelated to fire. What about cooking with the heat of the sun? Cooking in the sun, which is referred to as bishul bechama, does not have the halachic status of bishul, because the effect of sun heat is inferior to the effect of conventional fire. Accordingly, one may place a plate with an opened egg on the plate, so that it fries in the heat of the sun. Chazal saw no reason to forbid this midrabanan, because it's clearly evident that one is cooking in the sun, rather than in the heat of a fire, and people would not conclude from this that cooking in fire is permitted. It is, however, osur midrabanan to cook in a substance that has been heated by the sun, a tolda hachama, i.e., for example, to drop an egg into water which was heated by the sun. This is osur, because the water is not recognizable as having been heated by the sun rather than by fire. Consequently, if this were mutter, this could lead people to do the same in water heated by fire, tolda ha'esh, which is bishul min ha-Torah. Therefore, we have a bit of a paradox here. One can cook in the heat of the sun itself, but one may not cook in a substance that was heated by the sun. So far we have discussed the Isurim Midaraisa of Bishul, as well as the Takanas Chachamim of Tolda Dechama. Now let's discuss three very important Isurei Chazal regarding Bishul, which will be dealt with primarily in this parak. Number one, Shehiya, conditions under which a raw or partially cooked food may be left on the stove from Erev Shabbos to cook and soften during Shabbos itself. Number two, Chazara, conditions under which a pot of fully cooked food, which was taken off the stove on Shabbos, may be returned to the stove once again. And number three, Hatmana, conditions under which one may wrap up a pot either on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos to keep the food hot. First, let's talk about Shehiya, the leaving of a raw or partially cooked food to cook on Shabbos. From the point of view of Melechah Shabbos, there is no Isser whatsoever in leaving a raw food or unboiled liquid on the stove from Erev Shabbos to gradually cook on Shabbos itself, since the Bishul will occur of its own accord. It's comparable to allowing a plant to grow of its own accord on Shabbos and a time switch to operate on Shabbos, both of which are mutter, because the person himself is not actively doing the malacha on Shabbos. However, Chazal saw a considerable danger in allowing people to leave an uncooked food on a stove from Erev Shabbos, although no actual issur of bishul is involved. This is because the fire might prove to be not powerful enough, and the person will be disappointed at the slow progress of the cooking. This in turn could leave him, in a moment of forgetfulness, to stoke the fire in order to speed up the cooking process, and to do so, of course, involved the malacha of mavir, fire making. Because of this danger, Chazal forbade leaving uncooked food on a stove in the normal manner. This is called gzeira shamayachata, a prohibition enacted to prevent a person from stoking the coals on the fire. It is understood that to turn up a gas flame or the controls of an electric heater is exactly the same as stoking the fire. Consequently, such ovens are subject to the same isser. To overcome this concern, Chazal made a rule that a fire must first be covered, ketumah. Coals must be covered with a layer of ash or sand, and a cooker with a sheet of metal, an asbestos board, or even a piece of thick aluminum foil if it is strong enough to withstand the heat. Once such an arrangement has been made, a raw food may be put onto the cooker, even just minutes before Shabbos, and left to cook on Shabbos itself, since once this has been done, the person will presumably not interfere with the fire. That is a summary of Shehiyah. Now let's talk about Chazara, returning a pot to the stove shortly after it was removed on Shabbos. To put a pot of fully cooked food onto the stove is not bishul, even if the food is cold, and the stove will heat it up. This is because a fully cooked food is exempt from the halachas of bishul, as it is subject to the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is cooked, it can't be recooked. There's no iser. Similarly, to put a pot of pre-boiled liquid onto a stove is not bishul either, since as long as liquid is still warm, it is subject to the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Consequently, min haTorah, it's permissible to take a pot of cold, pre-cooked food out of the refrigerator and place it onto the oven in order to warm it up even on Shabbos. Similarly, min haTorah, it's permissible to pour a plate of warm soup back into a pot of soup that is on the stove, since no act of bishul is being done in either case. However, Chazal saw a great danger in allowing food to be returned to the stove on Shabbos in the normal and typical manner, since the activity appears to be an act of cooking, mechsi kemevashel, and if it were permitted, it could chas v'shalom lead to true acts of cooking being done. Chazal therefore forbade the returning of a pot to the cooker in the normal manner, irrespective of whether the food is cold or still hot, and whether it is a long time or just a short time since it was taken off the cooker. This isser is known as the isser of chazara, returning a pot in the normal manner to the stove. There are three requirements in order for chazara to be permitted. Chazal permitted returning a pot to the stove if this is just a continuation of its previous stay on the stove, and is clearly an act of only keeping the food warm, not cooking the food. This is achieved by fulfilling three conditions, one for each of the three partners involved, the person removing the pot itself, and the oven to which the pot is being returned. The three conditions are as follows. Number one, daitoi lahachzira, the pot is removed with the intention of returning it shortly. Number two, aida biyade, the pot is continuously held by the person while it is off the stove. And number three, aish ketuma, the flame on which the pot is returned is covered, i.e. it has a blech. A fourth condition is that the food must continuously remain warm. If the food got cold, then chazara would not be mutter. We should point out that lechatchila, all these four conditions must be met in order to do chazara. However, if one of the first two conditions is missing, b'di'evet, a person can still do chazara. For example, if a person had das to return it, but he did not continuously hold it, or he continuously held it, but he did not have das to return it, in those cases, b'di'evet, it would still be mutter to return the pot to the stove. Finally, let's talk about the third takanas chachamim, hatmana, wrapping a pot either on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos. People commonly wrap pots of fully cooked foods in blankets, either on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos, to keep the food hot. Similarly, they enclose pots on all sides with wool, wood shavings, leaves, ashes, etc., to keep them hot, instead of leaving them on the stove. Wrapping a pot or enclosing it in any type of material is called hatmana. Hatmana can be done with two distinctly types of materials. A pot can be enclosed in a material which adds heat to the food, such as hot ashes, which contain burning embers, or it can be enclosed in a material which preserves the heat and slows down the cooling process, but does not positively give heat to the food, for example, blankets, straw, cotton, wool, etc. Enclosing in the former type of material is called hatzmana b'davar hamaisif hevel, something which adds heat, whilst to enclosed in the latter types of materials is called hatzmana b'davar hamaimid hevel, or a davar she'ein hamaisif hevel. Hatzmana b'davar hamaisif hevel, something which adds heat, is also to do even if the actual wrapping takes place on Erev Shabbos. However, to do hatmana b'dvarim hamamid in hevel, or as we refer to it as dvarim she'ena meisif hevel, these are materials which retain heat but don't positively give heat, for example, straw or aluminum foil or wool or paper or blankets and so on, this type of hatmana may be done on Erev Shabbos. Now, although by all other malachas, generally speaking, if one did a malacha before Shabbos, if it automatically continues by itself on Shabbos, it's mutter. But by Anyani Bishel, the Chachamim were machmer to say that if one begins to cook before Shabbos, the cooking cannot continue on Shabbos. The Chachamim were afraid that if the food is not fully cooked on Shabbos, someone will move the coals or increase the heat, Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, as we mentioned, and it'll be over on Havara, creating fire, or Bishel, cooking. But as brought in Shulchan Aruch, Chassim, and Reishon, and Gimel, this gezeira is only at a time and place where it's likely that he will stir the coals. But if one was garaf or katam, then it is mutter to leave a pot cooking even on Shabbos. Grufa means that he sweeps out the coals from the oven, and ketuma means he puts ashes on the fire. Today, our stoves, which are gas or electric, the equivalent act of grufa or ketuma would be via the use of a blech, a metal piece on top of the flame, which acts as a heker, making it unlikely that a person will raise or lower the flame on Shabbos. Also, as is brought in Siman Reishon and Gimel, if the food is already somewhat cooked before Shabbos, it is mutter to let it continue to cook even on Shabbos. This is as we refer to as Shehiya. And the shear of somewhat cooked is the amount of Kemeichel ben Drusoy. Rashi says that Kemeichel ben Drusoy means it was at least half cooked, and the Rambam says Kemeichel ben Drusoy means it was at least one-third cooked. Mikir Hadin, if it is already cooked to the shear of Kemeichel ben Drusoy, a blech is not needed. But the Bir Halacha says that we should be machmir to use a blech, even in this case, unless the food is totally cooked before Shabbos. Another reason to always use a blech is for chazara. If one takes a pot off the fire and wants to return it, since it's mechsi kimavashal, it looks like cooking, it is usher to return it completely unless the stove is grufa or ketuma. And today, this, the equivalent of grufa or ketuma is a blech. The inyan of mechsi kimavashal is brought in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Simen, Reishon, and Gimel. We should also point out that in Igros Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Dalad, Simen Ayin Dalad, Sivkot and Lamed Hei, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha says that an electric hot pot or an urn that has only one temperature setting does not require a blech in order to permit Shehiyah, since it cannot be adjusted. The concern of Shami Echata does not apply. A person can't turn anything because there's nothing to turn. Therefore, there's no concern of Shami Echata, and a blech would not be required in a case like that. Now, let's begin the Mishnah. Akira, a stove which was heated up with straw or thin pieces of wood, one can put food on it on Erev Shabbos to continue cooking after Shabbos begins. This is Shehiyah. And we're not chayshish that he will move the coals. We're not chayshish for Shami Echata B'Gecholim, since straw and thin wood don't become coals. But with Gefes, which is Pseudus Zaysim, or Eitzim, which is logs, then Shehiyah from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos is Aser. Since we're chayshish, Shami Echata B'Gecholim, he might come to stoke the coals. Unless he does Grufa, he sweeps out the coals before Shabbos, or he does ketuma, he puts ashes on top of the coals to cool them off. Beis Shammai says, this heter of grufa uketuma by Shehiyah is only permitted for the purpose of cooking water from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. But food is aser, since it's mechsi kimavashal, it looks like a person is cooking. Beis Hillel says, even food can be cooked via Shehiyah if grufa or ketuma was done. In additional machlekes, Beis Shammai says, this heter is only by hot water if it's Shehiyah. But Chazara, returning something to a flame which was taken off on Shabbos, and to return it on Shabbos, this is also Aser, because again, it's Mechsi Kimavashal. But Beis Hillel holds that not only is Shehiyah going to be Mutter, but Chazara is also Mutter for all foods, as long as we have Grufa or Ketuma, or a Blech today. Later, the Gemara will talk about the limitations of Chazara, even according to Beis Hillel. The Gemara. Our Mishnah is like Hananya, who holds that once food is cooked to the shear of Kemeichel ben Drusoy, as we mentioned, Rashi holds this is half-cooked, the Rambam holds it's one-third cooked, that it's mutter to do Shehiyah even without grufa or ketuma. Rashi explains that Ben Drusai, the reason it's called Kemeichel Ben Drusai, because Ben Drusai was a robber who ate his food quickly even before it was fully cooked. Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara brings many rayas to the different shitas of our Mishnah, according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shehiyah, the act of leaving food on the fire over Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, if you learn, like Rameir, Shehiyah is usher. According to Rabbi Yehuda or Hananya, Lefi Beis Shammai, it would only be mutter for water and only with grufa uketuma. Lefi Beis Hillel, according to Rameir, only water would be mutter and only with grufa uketuma. According to Rabbi Yehuda or Hananya, even food would be mutter, but again, only if grufa, the ketuma, was done. chazara, the act of returning food to a fire after it was taken off, according to everyone, it's usr, except according to Beis Hillel, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Hananya, and then it's only mutter if one did grufa or ketuma. But without grufa or ketuma or ablech, everyone, even Hananya, would hold that chazara is usr on Shabbos. These shitas are based on Akira, the ovens in those days. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reishon and Gimel, Sif Aleph, today, he mentions, that if one uses a blech, this is equivalent to grufa or ketuma, and shehiyah would be mutter, and according to the Ramah, even chazara would be mutter. And this is brought la halacha, and Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Pei Aleph. Rav Safra says that if one wants to put a food next to the wall of the kira, smicha, this is also only mutter if there is grufa or ketuma. Today, whether we need a blech to do smicha is a machlekes hapaiskim. Rabbi Yochanan says if one has a tafshil, shenisbashel, called tzarche, it was fully cooked. If someone did not do grufa or ketuma, even though it's nisbashel called tzarche, it's fully cooked, but if it is mitzdamek v'yafalei, that continuous cooking makes it even better, then shehiyah would be usr, unless he did grufa or ketuma, since we're afraid shamiyachata b'gecholam. The Gemara says Rabbi Sheshes was chelek on Rabbi Barachana, and Rabbi Yitzchak said one can do shehiyah, even if a tafshil is shalai bishel called tzarche, it's not fully cooked, and even without grufa or ketuma. And chazara would be mutter, as long as you have grufa or ketuma. Rav says in both of these cases, it would still have to be cooked at least the shear of Kamaichel ben Jerusai. Rav Nachman says, if the process of continuous cooking on Shabbos is mitzdamek v'yafalei, it makes it even better, then shehiyah on Shabbos is usur without grufa uketuma. But if it's mitzdamek v'ralei, by continuous cooking it gets even worse, then shehiyah is mutter even without grufa uketuma. And the general rule is that anything with flour in it gets worse as it's cooked too much, mitzdamek v'ralei. According to Rashi and Taisus, this shita is irrelevant since they hold like Hananya, who paskins that shehiyah is always mutter, even without grufa uketuma, as long as the food was cooked kamaichel ben Jerusai. This psak of the Gemara is only according to those who don't hold like Hananya. Taflamiches. If one mamish cooks on Shabbos, and it was done b'shaige, he forgot it was Shabbos, or he didn't know bishul was usur on Shabbos, he's allowed to eat it. But b'meizid it if he cooked, then it's usur to eat it. But if there was shehiyah, then there's no difference if it was b'shaigig or b'meizid. If this means both are usur to eat, or both are mutter to eat, this is a machlekes. If one does a maisa shehiyah on Shabbos, b'meizid, the food becomes usur not only to him, but to everyone. And in fact, the Tur and Siman Reishon and Gimel paskins like this. The Gemara says when Reis Hillel said that chazar is mutter on Shabbos, Reb Zureka said it's only mutter if one still has the pot in his hand. But if he put it on the ground, it would be usur to put it back on the stove, since this is mechsi kimavashal, it looks like he's cooking. Others disagree with this chumra. Of course, we should keep in mind that any heter of chazara can only exist if there was grufa or ketuma, or today a blech. Chizkia added another chumra to Beis Hillel. Chazara can only be mutter if there was daitoy lahachzer. When he took it off the fire, he had in mind to put it back on the fire. Others disagreed with this chumra. And Rabbi Yehu asked, what if he put it down, but not on the ground, rather on a bed? What's the halacha? Or what if he put the food into a new pot? Is chazara going to be mutter? Gemara says, teiku. The Ran and the Rush paskin, all these shailas l'chumra, but the Rambam paskins l'kula. L'halacha, the Mishnah Brura, in Siman Reishon and Gimel, Sifkat Nun Vav, brings four conditions for chazara. First of all, he says that if someone takes a chalent pot off the fire on Shabbos in the morning, he can only return it if he had das to return it. Daitoy lahachzer. If he did not have das to return it, it would be usur to do chazara. In addition, one needs oida b'yadai. One must lechatchila continue to hold the pot while it is off the flame. If he lets go of the pot, chazara would be usur. As we mentioned in our hakdama, b'di'eved b'shas hadchak, if one of these two conditions are not met, b'di'eved, a person can still make chazara, as long as the other one was done. The third condition is that the chalent has to continue to remain warm. If the chalent cooled off, then chazara would be usur. Finally, there, of course, has to be a blech. Otherwise, chazara, of course, would be usur as well. The Mishnah Berurah also adds that once chazara is mutter, it's mutter to return the chalent pot to any stove, not only the one you took it from. This has an important practical application. If, let's say, in your house, for example, the flame went out, so now you want to move the chalent to somebody else's stove, this would be mutter if, of course, there is a blech, and there is a kasher erev which would allow you to carry the chalent to your neighbor's house. The Mishnah Berurah, there in Siman Reishon at Gimel, in the Bir Halacha, Divrei HaMaschil V'Loi Hinicha, brings a famous shaila from Rabbi Akiva Eger. What if Reuven takes not his own pot of chalent, but Shimon's pot of chalent, and he puts it on the ground? I.e., since we say, Ein Adam Oyser Davar She'en Shaloi, can Reuven impose the Isser of Chazara on Shimon's pot of chalt? Rabbi Kiva Eger answers that if Reuven Mamish makes a hanocha of the chalt on the ground, so he's doing an act which isn't a lomda sheshaila, but a metzias. The fact is the hanocha occurred. Then we don't say Ein Adam Oyser Davar She'en Shalai, and Shimon would not be able to do Chazara. It would be the same thing as if a person goes and shechts someone else's animal, making it a treifa. We can't say Ein Adam Oyser Davar She'en Shalai. The metzias is that the animal is a treifa. Same thing here. The metzias is it's on the ground. Therefore, he would not be able to do a Chazara. If, however, Reuven takes it off the stove, has it in his hand, but has in mind not to return it, can the machshava of one person asur the food of a different person? Rav Shach Shlita, in his Sefer Avi Ezri on the Rambam Perek Yimel Hilcha Shabbos, says that Chazara in this case would be asur, since in order to do Chazara, you need a positive machshava that you will return the pot. The fact that one didn't have a negative machshava not to return it is not enough. If one doesn't have das to return it, it's a chasaron in not having one of the five tnaim needed to make a chazara, not in regard to the question of Ein Adam Oyser Davar She'en Shalai. And in fact, here we have some metzias as well. The metzias that once one doesn't have a positive machshava to do chazara, the original shehiya becomes pasul. It's like he put it on the ground. Now let's continue with the next mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Akira is wide at the bottom and at the top, and doesn't retain heat very well. Mashemken, a tanur, has a broad base but narrows at the top, so it does retain more heat, so the dinim of tanur are more lahachmer. And a kupach, which is like a mini kira, is in between these two. So a tanur that was heated with straw or small chips of wood, it is usher to do shehiya from Erev Shabbos. But a kupach, if it was heated with straw, it's like a kira, so shehiya is mutter. But if it was heated with wood, then it's like a tanur, and shehiya is usher. And the Gemara says, a kupach has room for one pot, while a kira has room for two pots. A kupach is square, while a kira is rectangular. The next mishnah. A person should not put an egg next to a hot kettle on Shabbos, so it should become partially roasted. This is Bishul. And he shouldn't open an egg over a hot cloth heated by the sun. Rabbi Yossi says, this is mutter in the second case. And don't place an egg in hot sand heated by the sun. There was a maisa with the people in Tveria who put a pipe of cold water into the Chame Tveria. So the Chachamim said that on Shabbos it's osser, but on Yontiv it's mutter la'achila, but it's osser l'rechitza. The Gemara says the rule is that anything placed in hot water before Shabbos can stay there on Shabbos. If it was not placed there before Shabbos, then it cannot. The Gemara says all agree that cooking with tolda d'or is osur. Bishul, we know, is osur. To cook with fire mamish is osur. Tolda of bishul, tolda d'or, is if one cooks with an object that became heated by fire. So, for example, if you have a boiling pot of water, so a person then drops an egg into the boiling pot of water. So since the hot water was heated by fire, and now the hot water is going to heat the egg and boil the egg, that would be usher as a tolda d'or. Also, everyone agrees that bishul b'chama is mutter. If a person takes an egg and he fries it on the sidewalk using the heat of the sun, that would be mutter. The machlokes in the Mishnah is if one cooks in the tolda of chama. For example, if one takes an egg and puts it inside sand, the sand is very, very hot, and the sand now is going to heat the egg, and is going to cook the egg. So you have a situation where the sand is being heated by the sun, and the sand is now going to cook the egg. The Chachamim say this is Aser, because the Chachamim were geyser, tolda dechama otu tolda deor. The Chachamim were afraid that if somebody cooks an egg, mamish, in the sun, that's not a problem, because everybody's going to see it's being cooked in the sun. But if someone cooks an egg inside sand, which was cooked or heated by the sun, then people will think maybe it's mutter to cook in a tolda of esh as well, because people will see that. They won't know that it was cooked or that it was heated by the sun, and they'll think that therefore cooking with something that was cooked with esh is also mutter. So because of that, they were chayshish, and they were guys are tolda dechama otu tolda de'ar. Rabbi Yossi says we're not chayshish for this. La halacha, regular bishul, or tolda de bishul, is aser mid'oraisa. Bishul bechama, however, is mutter lachatchila. And Rashi explains that cooking in the sun is not included in Isser of Bishul because it's not the usual manner of cooking. Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha and Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Beis was asked whether cooking in a microwave oven is considered Bishul, because a microwave oven doesn't really cook through the heat of a fire. Rav Moshe, bringing this Rashi, explains that cooking with the heat of the sun is excluded from Bishul only because it's unusual to cook that way. Since cooking with a microwave oven is common, even though it's not really Bishul with fire, it's still considered Bishul, even though it doesn't cook through the heat of fire. Finally, la halacha bishul betolda dechama, that's aser mid rabbanan. So what you have is an interesting situation that Bishel, or told of the Bishel, using fire is Usr. Bishel Bechama is Mutter, but Bishel in told of the Chama, which is really a little less than Bishel Bechama, so to say, that would be Usr. And that's due to the Gzera of the Chachamim, told of the Chama, or to told of Dar. Rabbi Yosef gives a different reason why Rabbi Yossi agrees that if a person puts an egg into the sand, which is a tolda dechama, why that's asur on Shabbos. Since the person moves the sand, he's mezis afar mim kaima, he moves it around, this is asur due to muktza. Sand is muktza machmas gufay. It's like etzim va'avonim, which have no designated utility on Shabbos, so they're muktza. And when a person moves it around and presses the sand, this is referred to as tiltol min hatzad. Rashi learns that the chashash is not due to muktza, but due to chayrish, we're afraid that he'll dig a hole into the ground. In discussing the case of Tveria, the Gemara says that Chame Tveria are Tolda D'Or, since these waters are heated by fire, as they pass through the Share Gehenim. Certainly there's a whole shaila as to whether the fire of Gehenim is physical or spiritual, but from the Maisa Tveria we learn that to do Hatmana B'Davar HaMaisif Hevel even before Shabbos is Usr, meaning to wrap food with an object that increases heat. And Taisvis asks, who needs the Maisa Tveria? This is a Beferisha Mishnah later on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Ein Taimnin. Taisvus answers from the Ri. With just the Mishnah, we would have thought that Hatmana is only Asur Bein HaShemashas, not Friday afternoon. Kamash Malan, even hours before Shabbos, it's Asur. And this is Takada Halacha, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Nun Zayin, Sif Alef. He also brings the Teretz from Abshmuel Mivardin, who says that if someone does this, it's Asur to eat it on Shabbos. And this is also brought in Reish Nun Zayin, Sif Alef. The general rule is that any Malacha which is Asur on Shabbos is Asur on Yontiv as well, unless it's the tzarech eichel nefesh, then it's mutter to do the malacha on Shabbos. As we see from Parshas Bay, ach ashay achel eichel nefesh, hu levada yiyas lachem. If it's for achila, then that alone is mutter on Yontif. If one, however, wants to wash his feet on Yontif, according to Beis Hillel, he's allowed to warm up hot water, since once it's mutter to warm up hot water for the purpose of cooking food, it's mutter to warm it up for his feet as well. And the klal is, mitoich shehutru l'tzarech, hutrunami shalal l'tzarech. This is known as the klal of mitoich. Beis Shammai says, it's osur, unless it was first cooked for the purpose of drinking. If you already have extra hot water for the drinking purpose, then you could use it to wash off your feet as well. On Shabbos, Rav Meir says, one may not bathe in hot or cold water. According to Rav Shimon, one can bathe as long as it was heated before Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says, hot water, even if it was heated before Shabbos, is osur, but cold water is okay. And they said that halacha is like Rav Yehuda. This is in fact how it's brought in Simen Shin Chav Vav, Sif Aleph. However, the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Ches brings the Maril, who says that the minig today is to refrain from all bathing on Shabbos, even in cold water, because bathing often results in other isurim, for example, schita, squeezing the water out from a towel, or haitzah, carrying. Therefore, it's usur to do any bathing on Shabbos. Finally, Rebbe said, the rule is, whenever you have two Tanayim who argue, and a third one comes in and is machriya between them, he compromises, the halacha is like the one who is machriya, except in one particular case regarding rags. Daf Mem. If water was heated before Shabbos, Rav says that you can wash your body, but only one aver at a time. Shmuel says, you can wash only panav yodav viraglav. They said Rav always paskin like Rav except in three cases. Matilin mi beged lebeged, you can move the strings of a tzitzis from one beged to the next. Madlikin mi ner lener, ner mitzvah. And the halacha is like Reb Shimon by Greira, that a person can drag a bed, even though maybe there'll be a chritz, because davar she'en miskaven is mutter. It used to be that if water was heated before Shabbos, it was mutter to bathe in it on Shabbos. But bathhouse owners began to heat water on Shabbos, and lie and say that it was heated before Shabbos. So the Chachamim made a gzera that bathing in hot water was usur on Shabbos, even if it was heated before Shabbos. And as we mentioned before, the minhag today is not to bathe at all, whether in cold or hot water, on the Shabbos. One can bring a pitcher of water and place it next to a fire, not to heat it up, but to remove the chill from it. And a woman can do the same with oil in order to put it on a child. Others say that it's usur, even if it isn't yad seledesbay, unless it's done with a shinai. To determine yad seledesbay, Rachva said that if it is put on a baby's stomach and it will cause a burn, it's hot enough to be called yad seledesbay. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi once followed Rebbe into a bathhouse on Shabbos, and he asked him if he could put oil into the Chamei Tveria. Rebbe said no, since the pool is a kli rishon. But if he warms the oil in a kli sheni, this is mutter, since kli sheni ain't a mavashel. It's not called bishel because it cools quickly. The kli sheni cools much quicker, and therefore it's not really possible to have a full-scale bishel. We should just point out there are a number of ways that a person can cook food in a tolda de'esh. He can put an uncooked food into a pot of hot water, which is now a kli rishon. He can pour a stream of hot water from the pot onto food, which is called Iroi Kli Rishon. He can put the food into a bowl, which has been filled with hot water from the pot. And this is now called a Kli Sheni. The Gemara says, although normally it's usher to speak Torah in the Beis HaMerchatz, but to prevent someone from doing an Avera, this case, for example, the Bishul B'Kli Rishon, which we were talking about here, it's mutter to speak Divrei Torah. Finally, it's usher for one to swim in water on Shabbos. This was a Gzeira Midrabanan, since someone may come to build a raft or a life preserver, which is Baina or possibly Tikkun Kli. And this Gzeira is both in a public river or a lake, as well as in a private swimming pool. If a foreign army comes into a city during the time of peace, so open barrels of wine are usur, since we're chayshe they did nisuch hayayin, which is avodah zarah. But if it's during the time of war, then it's mutter, since they probably didn't have time to do avodah zarah. Reb Zera wanted to emigrate from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but Reb Yehuda didn't want him to do that, since he said, kala oila mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael oivar ba'aseh, since the pasuk in Yirmiyach of Zion says, Bavela yuva'u v'shama yihyu. They shall be brought to Bavel, and they should stay there. Rashi in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, explains that this is true because Bavel had very great Torah yeshivas, therefore one should not leave Bavel. The next Mishnah. Mulier, which is a keli used for hot water, which had a large bowl in the middle for the water, and a thin compartment around the side for coals. If the coals were removed before Shabbos, it's mutter to drink from it on Shabbos, since without the coals it only retains heat, but doesn't increase heat, i.e. it's not a davar ha-maisif hevel. But an antichi, which is maisif hevel, it actually adds heat. Even if the coals were taken out before Shabbos, it's usher to use the water on Shabbos. The next Mishnah. If a kettle of hot water was emptied out, it is usher to put cold water into it on Shabbos, since this keli is a Kli Rishon, and a Kli Rishon is mevashel. But one can add cold water into a cup of hot water that came from a Kli Rishon, i.e. the second cup is now called a Kli Sheni. And this is mutter, since we hold Kli Sheni eino mevashel. The Gemara. If one adds a lot of cold water, it's mutter, since the water won't become cooked, but only warmed. Aye, but isn't this mitzaref, strengthening the metal of the keli, which is a malacha of makkah b'patish? Our answer is we're going like Reb Shimon, who holds that davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. If one doesn't have kavana to do a malacha, even if the malacha does occur, he's potter. Here he didn't want to harden the metal, he just wants to put the water in. Reb Yehuda argues, Reb Yehuda holds, by the way, davar she'ena miskaven is osur. If someone does an act, which is mutter, and incidentally a second act, which is a malacha asura, occurs, which is davar she'ena miskaven, the first act becomes osur to do as well. And we should also point out that although Reb Shimon says davar she'ena miskaven is mutter, but it's not mutter if it's a psik resha, if it's definitely going to happen, then even Reb Shimon would hold davar she'ena miskaven is osur. Daf Mem Beis. There was another machlekes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon regarding Hilcha Shabbos, and this is malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. If someone does a malacha, but it doesn't achieve the purpose, what it was intended for by the Torah, or doesn't contribute towards something creative, is one chayev or not? Reb Yehuda says, a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayev. Reb Shimon says, malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater. For example, the purpose min ha-Torah of the malacha of kibui, putting out a fire, is to create charcoal. But if someone extinguishes a fire to prevent his house from burning, this is called a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Reb Yehuda would say chayev, Reb Shimon would say pater. Beis Shammai holds, although it is usher to pour cold water into hot water on Shabbos due to Bishul, but hot into cold is mutter, even if the hot water comes from a Kli Rishon, Tosfos explains. This is mutter, because the rule of two things, if one on top, one is on top of the other, is tata gavar, the lower item dominates. So here, since the cold water is on the bottom, when the hot water hits it, the cold overpowers, and there is no Bishul. But Beis Hillel holds, if you're dealing with a Kli Sheni, even cold water into hot water is mutter, Kli Sheni ain't a mevashel. But by a Kli Rishon, hot to cold is mutter, since we hold hot to a gavar, but not cold to hot, since the Kli Rishon is mevashel. Reb Shimon ben Menasseh says, even hot to cold is osur. The maskana is, cold into a hot Kli Rishon, everybody says osur. Hot to cold, all say is mutter, due to tata gavar. Cold to hot in a Kli Sheni, this is a machloikis. Beis Shammai says osur, and Beis Hillel says mutter, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim, Simen Shin Yud Ches, Halacha Yud Beis. An important halacha lemaisa question that comes up is how to make a cup of coffee on Shabbos. The best way to do it is to make sure the cup is dry. A person should then put hot water into the cup before he puts anything else in the cup. Once the hot water is in the cup now becomes a Kli Sheni. At that point, one can add instant coffee or sugar. Both of these are pre-cooked, and milk as well, which has been pasteurized. Because in all these cases, it's a Kli Sheni, and we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The same halacha would apply to tea essence as well. And this is the psak of Ramesha Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Edigris Maisha, Chelek Dalid, Simen Ayin Dalid, Sif Tezayin, where Moshe says that it's mutter to make instant coffee in a kli sheni. But he said on it himself, he was machmer to do it in a kli shlishi. The Mishnah. Pans or pots that were taken from the fire, Bein Hashmashes, so now they're called a kli sheni, and they were hot enough to be Yad Tzeledes by. After Nacht, it is also to add spices to them, because kli rishon is mevashel. But if some of the liquid was poured into a bowl, i.e. into a kli sheni, spices can be added, since kli sheni ain't a mevashel. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Sifkat and Samachay, says that this heter only applies to liquid, not solid food. By salads, sometimes even a kli sheni is capable of being mevashel. In addition, Kutras al-Daf brings Taisvis from Daf Lamed Tes Amid Aleph Divrei HaMaschil Kol, who maintains that adding uncooked foods other than spices to the hot contents of a kli sheni is also mid rabbanan, because it gives the appearance of cooking, mechzik mevashel. He maintains that the Mishnah only permits adding spices because people know that the spices are added only to enhance the flavor of the food, and not in order to cook them. He also brings Abaya from Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, who says that foods which are kale habishal, which are extra sensitive to heat, even hot water from a kli sheni is capable of cooking them. And in fact, the Magen Avram in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Sifkat Yud Ches, says that today we don't know which foods are considered kale habishal, that are easily cooked, and therefore one should refrain from placing any food in a kli sheni, except for the few foods mentioned in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, which we know for certain are not kale habishal: ginger, cinnamon sticks, water, and oil. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Sifkat and Peizayin, brings an opinion that only when food is transferred via pouring is the second keli considered a kli sheni. However, if the vessel, such as a soup ladle, was submerged in a pot of soup to remove some soup, the ladle is considered not a kli sheni but a kli rishon, since the soup was not poured from the pot. The Mishnah Brura adds that if a ladle was left submerged in the pot for a long time, until it became very hot, then certainly it's considered a kli rishon, since the hot ladle will not cool the soup, as do the walls of a kli sheni. Of course, as we've mentioned before, all these chumras here that we're mentioning, vis-a-vis a kli sheni, apply to foods which haven't been cooked yet. But if something was already cooked, instant coffee, for example, that can be added to a kli sheni, because we hold ein bishlach habishal, so we're not really being mevashal, and by the case of a kli sheni, we can be mekel to put in something which is already cooked. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you can put spices into anything except something which has vinegar or fish brine, since the acid is mevashel. Gemara. Salt is like a regular spice that a kli rishon can cook it, but a kli sheni cannot cook it. Abaye says salt is worse, so even a kli sheni can cook it. Rabbi Nachman says a kli sheni does not cook salt. The next Mishnah. From this point, we will leave the sugya of bishel and go to the sugya of muktza. Muktza is the iser to move any item that was given a muktza status by Chazal. Chazal established an underlying condition for items to be movable on Shabbos. This is that they are muchan miba'oid yom. Literally, they are prepared from before the commencement of Shabbos, which means that the items both existed before the commencement of Shabbos and it expected already at that time that one may wish to use them on Shabbos. This excludes items that had not existed when Shabbos came into being, for example, as it's referred to nailat, such as milk, which was produced on Shabbos. Due to the underlying condition mentioned that items must be prepared for use from before Shabbos, two further classes of items are muktzah and may not be moved. Firstly, an item which is totally useless, such as stones, small pieces of wood, or garbage. Secondly, items which are not useless but serve a function that is usur on Shabbos, for example, a hammer, nails, a pen, or a bottle of ink. Now, there are seven different types of muktzah. Three of them are the main types of muktzah, while the other four are secondary forms of muktzah and occur with much less frequency than the first three. The three main types of muktzah are as follows: a keli shemalachte le'isr, which is an article which is used for doing jobs that are usur on Shabbos, a pen or scissors. Number two, muktzah machmas gufay, an item which is not a utensil and is either totally useless, for example, stones, garbage, pieces of wood, or at least in a useless state on Shabbos because it cannot be used for its designated purpose due to the isurim of Shabbos, paint, for example, or ink. The third category is muktzah machmas chesaron kis, an article which is used to do jobs that are forbidden on Shabbos, and the article itself is very valuable, a sheichetz knife, a camera, or business types of instruments. The four secondary types of muktzah are as follows: muktzah machmas mitzvah, an item which is designated to do a mitzvah, for example, a lulav. Number two, muktzah machmas iser, an item which is normally mutter, but due to the circumstances that the item happens to be in, it could cause a person who handles it to do an iser on Shabbos. For example,
a wet beged, which a person may squeeze out while transporting it. Muktzah machmas mius, which is an item which is normally mutter, but is very despicable and unpleasant, and it would be natural for a person not to want to touch it whenever possible. Finally, noilad, which was an item that came into being on Shabbos, and had not yet existed at the commencement of Shabbos. For example, an egg that was laid on Shabbos, or milk that came from a cow which was milked on Shabbos. Let's talk for a moment about a keli shemalachta le'isser. A keli shemalachta le'isser may not be moved for the safety of the item itself, nor for a purpose that is unrelated to Shabbos. However, there's two circumstances which one is allowed to move a keli shemalachta le'isser. A person can move it l'tzarech gufay, or l'tzarech mekaymay. L'tzarech gufay means that the article is required for a certain permissible job, and one has no other non-muktza article available at present that could do the job. For example, if one has no nutcracker and one wishes to eat nuts, one may take a hammer to crack the nutshells. L'tzarech mekaymay means that the muktza article is in one's way on Shabbos and requires removal. For example, a child has put a tool on a table or a chair, and one needs the surface to sit down on. Similarly, if one forgot a pair of scissors or sewing needles on a person's bed, and they need to be removed so a person can go to sleep on the bed, a person would be allowed to move the item, l'tzarech mekaymay. However, a keli shemalachta le'isser cannot be moved for the purpose of saving that item itself. This is referred to as michama l'tzel, to move it from the sunshine, so to say, into the shade, so it doesn't get spoiled or hurt by the sun. This is usser. In certain instances, there are a number of alternative methods by which muktzah can be moved. For example, there is an expensive camera on the floor, and you're afraid that the baby will come along and break the camera. One possible way of moving an item would be what's referred to as tiltul min hatzad, which means moving an item in a normal manner, but sort of indirectly. For example, moving a table, and thereby moving the candlesticks that are on the table. The second method, potentially, is tiltul kila'achar yad, moving an item in an unusual manner. For example, moving it with an elbow, or kicking the item. Finally, we should point out the concept of basis l'davar ha'asr. There is a major halacha in muktzah known as basis, which means that the base of a muktzah item becomes as muktzah as the item which is on it. For example, if one put money on a table before Shabbos, intending to leave it there over Shabbos, the table itself becomes muktzah machmas gufay, which is the muktzah status of the money. So since the table is a basis l'davar asr, the table itself cannot be moved either. Now let's begin the Mishnah. One may not place a dish under an oil and wick lamp to catch the oil which drips from it. Since ein keli nitel b'Shabbos al l'tzarech davar hanitel, you can't move a mutterdika keli on Shabbos to service a different object which is not mutter to move on Shabbos, i.e. it's a muktzadika item. The shemen in this ner is osser and is muktzah because it was set aside specifically for halakas ner shel Shabbos. Therefore, it's huktzah l'mitzvasai. So since the oil is osser because of muktzah, it's osser to move the oil, the bowl is not allowed to catch this oil either. But if the keli was placed under the ner before Shabbos, it is mutter to allow it to catch the oil on Shabbos, since we're not chayshish that he'll move it. And any shemen ending up in this keli is now usher to use on Shabbos, since it's eina min hamuchan. It was not prepared for use on Shabbos, aside for its intended purpose of hadlakas neris shel Shabbos. The Gemara. An egg laid by a tarnagol on Shabbos is muktzah machmas noilad. So putting a keli under it is also usher, just like in the Mishnah. Ein keli nitel el l'tzarech davar hanitel. But Reb Chisda says, to cover the egg with a keli to protect the egg, that's mutter. Since this is an event that happens very often. It's hatzala mitzuya. Daf Mem Gimel. A dish can be put under a leaking roof, since this is also mutzui. This is also something which happens often. The key to determining if something is set aside for use on Shabbos is what its status is during the period of Ben Hashmashas. Migul is katzoy le Ben Hashmashas, is katzoy le kule yoyma. If the item was muktzah during the period of Ben Hashmashas, even if later on it became non-muktzah, it still remains usser for the entire Shabbos. And of course, if during the period of Ben Hashmashas it was mutter, then it remains mutter for the entire Shabbos. The Gemara says if a muktzah item is sitting on a chair, for example, and someone needs the chair, then it is mutter to move the muktzah item to clear the chair, since the place is now needed. Tiltul muktzah is mutter. If it's a keli shemlachter le'isser, tiltul muktzah is mutter l'tzarech mekaymik. You need the chair. It is mutter to move a mat to cover honey, which is not muktzah, honey of a beehive on Shabbos, to protect it, as long as one doesn't trap the bees, because if one traps the bees inside, he's over on the melacha of tzad. If a mace is lying in the sun, and we're afraid it will decay, even though the mace is really muktzah, we can still cover it if we do it in a roundabout way. For example, you put a cover up to protect a live person sitting there as well. Or you put a loaf of bread on top of the mace. And if you want to move the mace itself, do it via tiltul min hatzad, indirectly. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said, even if you hold tiltul min hatzad is usur, but for a mace who is burning in a fire, it would be mutar, since adam bohol al mesa. People will be very distressed about losing a relative who is dead in a fire, and if you don't allow them to move it, they'll put out the fire by themselves, and they'll be over on the doraisa of kibbut, extinguishing a fire. And the halachas are Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, even to move a mace from a fire directly with no shinui, if tiltul min hatzad is impossible. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shin Yud Aleph, Sif Aleph. Daf Mem Dalad, the next Mishnah. An earthenware lamp, which was never used on Shabbos, can be moved, since it could still be used as a storage keli. But not an old lamp, since it is very greasy, and it's mias, so therefore it's muktza machmas mias. Reb Shimon says, all lamps can be moved unless it's actually burning, because if it's burning, it's muktza machmas iser. Gemara. Reb Shimon does not hold of the concept of muktza machmas mias. That's why it's mutter to move, as long as it's not burning. If a bed was designated to have money put on it, and money was placed on it before Shabbos, and it was there during the period of Bein HaShemashos, it is usur to move the bed, since the bed is now basis ledavar ha'usur. The key is Bein HaShemashos period. And then it's usur for the entire Shabbos. As we mentioned before, migud is katsoy lebein HaShemashos, it's katsoy lekule yoyma. However, a wheel of a carriage, if it is removable, then it's really a separate entity from the carriage. And if money is put on the wheel before Shabbos, the carriage would also be usur to move, since it's now a basis ledavar ha'usur. The carriage is the basis, and the wheel is davar ha'asur with the money on it. But if the wheel is not removable, then the carriage can be moved, since the carriage is not a basis. It's now part of the same entity as the wheel. Daf Mem Hei. On Shabbos Chanukah, once the lights go out, Rabbi Yehuda holds the menorah still cannot be moved, since the menorah is muktza, unless it's a shas sakana. Rabbi Shimon says it can always be moved. If one has a porch with a roof for shade, on Yontif it's also to take wood from the roof, as the wood, even if it falls, is muktza. This is Saiser, the opposite of Baina. Reb Shimon does not hold a muktza, but on Sukkot, even Reb Shimon would hold that this porch, Sukkah, would be muktza, since it was huktza l'mitzvasa, it was set aside for the mitzvah of Sukkah. It is usur to water and shecht midbarius on Yontif, wild animals, who disappear in the wilds for months at a time. But bisis, domesticated animals, can be shechted, since they're readily available, so therefore they're considered to be muchan. One who holds of the Isser of Mukta will also hold of the Isser of Nailad. The Gemara says, Akilas Chasanim, the canopy of a bridal bed, can be opened and taken down on Shabbos, since the roof slants and is less than a tefach wide at the top, where the two sides meet, so it's not an oil, and opening it and closing it is mutter on Shabbos. Daf Mem Vav. A large menorah of many sections is Mukta, because of a chashash that if it falls apart, one may want to put it back together, and this is Makke V'Patish, hitting the final blow with a hammer, i.e. completing the finishing touch on a keli. But if they are not separate sections, they're just one piece, although it's still usur to move on Shabbos, because it's a keli shemalachti le'isur, they could be moved l'tzarach gufay u'mekayme. Leftover oil from a dripping lamp is muktza on Shabbos, even after the flame went out, but Reb Shimon says it's mutter, since just because it was burning bein hashmashos, this doesn't usur it for the rest of Shabbos. A bechar of a behema tahira can only be shechted outside of the Beis HaMikdash if it has a mum, and a mumcha has to check it. But on Yontif, it can't be checked, since it's muktza, as it wasn't min ha-muchan before Yontif, because it had no mum before Yontif. Finally, Reb Shimon says a person is allowed to drag a bed in a Rishus HaRabim, even though it may create a chritz, a furrow, which is a mlacha of chayrish, as long as he doesn't have kavana to make the chritz l'chatchila, because he holds davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. Daf Mem Zayin. Although one is not allowed to move something, which is a basis l'davar asur, for example, money on a table, so the table becomes asur as well, but if the table also has an item, which is mutter, then it's a basis for both something which is usur and a chashava mutter item, then the table can be moved. Although ashes are usur to move on Shabbos, but a graf shel re'i, a container filled with excrement, may be moved, since it's mius, and people around will be uncomfortable. If one puts a bed or a menorah, which has fallen apart, back together again, he's chayev echatas, since he's over on the melacha of makke b'patish. But one is only chayev if he attached it firmly, but if a leg of a bed is attached loosely, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says it's mutter. The next Mishnah. It's mutter to put a dish under a menorah to catch sparks, but not water, since it'll be over on mechaba, on extinguishing. And the Gemara asks, but you're being mevatel keli mehechanai, since once sparks fall in, the dish is muktza. Our answer is no, since sparks have no mamashis, they don't asur the keli. This marks the end of this parak, and at this point we will conclude our shir.